Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 15th of July, recording at 9:20 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Okay, the first point I want to make is I'd like to discuss what I feel, what Fuller Money feels, are the two most interesting major markets by far this year. In other words, we've liked them during the first half of the year, and we like them during the remainder of the year. You can probably guess, because we mention them quite frequently, but they are the U.S. stock market and also the Japanese stock market. Let me take the U.S. stock market first. It has some very, very attractive advantages. First and foremost among those, I would say, is the competitive energy costs. And those have helped to regenerate economic activity right across the entire economy. And that's the U.S. has this advantage, of course, because it invented, and more importantly, very rapidly utilized its fracking technology to greatly increase the USA's gas and oil production. And this is an energy advantage that has caused some U.S. companies to move more of their manufacturing back to the United States, and it's also encouraged foreign companies to move more of their factories to the United States. It's an advantage that the U.S. is going to maintain, I think at least over the medium term, because other countries of consequence have been far slower, well, other countries, period, have been far slower to develop to their own shale gas and oil potential. Second big advantage that the United States has is one that it's held for decades, but that it looked like it was losing ground. In the 1990s, first decade of this century, and I'm talking, of course, about its technological innovation. But that appears to have been revitalized in recent years. I think the fracking factor was a big factor, perhaps the bankruptcy laws in the United States, which are favorable to entrepreneurial startup types, that may have helped as well, but that's always been there. We have seen this pickup since the inventiveness of the U.S. economy. Now I'm talking about seems to have accelerated in the last few years, and I think a key contributor to that is perhaps the energy attractiveness of the U.S. economy, although that doesn't translate directly, obviously, into a more inventive entrepreneurial culture. But we see it, and the U.S. is really the leader in what I maintain is an era of technological innovation expansion. Now, the other factor concerns the autonomies. The U.S. has by far the largest number of autonomies, and they remain in generally good form, as you will know from your own look through the library if you're interested in those shares, or will have seen in Common of the Day from Owen's many, many reviews. So that's an attractive combination. There are, what about the negatives? The U.S., and there's also the strong U.S. dollar, which I would say is a positive factor here right now. And it hasn't gone up so much that it's a headwind in any way for global economies. Now, there are some potential concerns, and I think we have an administration which historically is extremely important, but it does not have the same sort of entrepreneurial flair and interests as some other industries around the world currently have. It's more of a redistributive government in practice. But of course, there's a big private sector in the United States, and that is still, of course, continuing to actually flourish. The other factor regarding the U.S. is that its market has performed exceptionally well, but it is also more expensive. It's not overvalued in my opinion at all, but it's no longer cheap. That's the best way to summarize it. Okay, the other stock market that I think is incredibly interesting and remains incredibly interesting is Japan. This is a major turnaround situation, and the best factor that it has going for it is that Japan now has, I think, the most economically aggressive in a positive way, prime minister and government of any major country in the world. And Shinzo Abe, he has his critics, he has plenty of his doubters. All I would say is give this move, give this policy, give this government the benefit of the doubt until we see clear evidence that it's beginning to lose momentum or beginning to turn negative. I don't see any evidence of that at this stage. And if you're overweight in any market, well, in my opinion, the one to be overweight in right now is Japan. And I've described Japan as, at minimum, it was likely to be a great technical rally. Well, we've already seen that and more. The other probability was that we would see a cyclical bull market. I think that's well on the way, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Nikkei stock average, which is around that 14,500 level, but I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that push to the 18,000 to 20,000 level during the remainder of this year. But I feel also that as long as the Abe government remains popular, and of course they've got their election coming up next Sunday, the upper house election, we are expecting, based on what we've read about this, that Abe's likely to gain substantially, and that's important. And that will give further support, I think, over the medium term, if not the short term, to the overall bull trend. And other interesting markets? Well, the China situation is extremely interesting, largely because of the size of the economy, and also because of the valuations on equities, which are historically low. But what we know is that China is engaged in a number China's government's engaged in a number of policies here to rein in the shadow banking sector and other aspects of the economy that it felt was were out of control in the last administration. But I think the so that raises questions over the short term. I don't think there's any real downside risk of consequence, but we may have to be patient before we see China perform significantly to the upside, and we'll get our clues on that from the stock market trend and activity. Okay. Now, what else has happened in here today, or what are markets doing in here today, I should say? And the rally from last week has carried over to this week. Wall Street gave up most of its, well, it has very modest gains in here today. It gave up maybe two-thirds of them, or a little more here towards the close, but still another positive day. Mexico is slightly lower. Brazil had a good bounce, up 2.65% in here today. The European stock markets were also firm, mostly under 1%, although the one exception is that is Italy, and that's up over 1%. In the Pacific, Asia-Pacific region, Japan had a small gain. No, I beg your pardon, Japan's closed today. But I think that Japan will be higher tomorrow following this performance on Wall Street today, and also with the yen somewhat weaker in here at 99.8 against the US dollar. modest gains in Australia and Hong Kong. The China Shanghai Composite Index was up nearly 1%. And it looks like we had gains right across the boards here. Right across the board. Let's see. Yep. I don't think, well, no, I don't see anything that was down in Asia here today. These markets have underperformed here for the most part recently, Japan excepted. And I think until China starts to show a little bit of relative performance, we may see a continued underperformance by a number of the Asian markets. But again, to repeat myself, I don't expect that to apply to Japan. And interestingly, it may not apply to India, which has had another move back towards the upper side of its range overall. Eventually, that's going to lead to a significant upside breakout, but I think it'll still be a while yet. Okay, other markets here. We've seen the U.S. bond prices a little bit higher in here today, as the they were slightly softer at the beginning of the day, but then the bond prices firmed and but range bound here at the moment. We've had a big run to the upside by these long dated government bond markets in the USA and also in Europe, and they were overbought and are likely to see some further ranging and possibly some easing in a consolidation process over the short term. But the next significant move to the upside is more likely to be upwards than downwards for the yields of those long-dated government bonds. It's not a sector that I like. It's highly risky here overall. The bull market in long-dated government bonds is over, in our opinion. Now, elsewhere, precious metals. Well, the palladium and platinum show the stronger patterns, stronger rallies here by far. Gold and silver, they're lagging by quite a margin. That may indicate that the demand is mostly coming from a bit of short covering. And I think there's the Paulson fear that large fund, and we know about all the positions in ETFs, particularly positions coming from the US. And so that's a supply that's still overhanging this market, and that may remain a problem over the next few months, particularly as the US dollar is also quite steady, as you know. Industrial metals, very soft here overall. They are somewhat oversold. They look cheap, but the mining industry generally, well, that's the big serial underperformer, isn't it, in terms of overall stock market performance. And that indicates some deflationary pressures, some concern over GDP global growth, and I think that's going to be with us for a little bit longer. Oil prices, on the other hand, are steadier overall. I think still some concern over supply security. And I think those are the main stories. Here I could talk to you about the extremely hot weather and this glorious summer of sport for the United Kingdom, but I won't indulge myself by doing that. All the best to all of you.